The show is brought to you by our generous patrons at patreon.com/falloutlorecast.
Robots Radio presents
the Fallout Lorecast.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, a place for the Fallout community to come together to explore the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. On November 14th, 2017, there was an article posted to The Atlantic entitled, "How the Zombie Fungus Takes Over Ants' Bodies to Control Their Minds." This was written by Ed Young. And it follows, "To find the world's most sinister examples of mind control, don't look to science fiction. Instead, go to a tropical country like Brazil and venture deep into the jungle. Find a leaf that's hanging almost exactly 25 centimeters above the forest floor. No more, no less. Now look underneath it. If you're in luck, you might find an ant clinging to the leaf's central vein, jaws clamped tight for dear life. But this ant's life is already over, and its body belongs to the zombie ant fungus. When the fungus infects a carpenter ant, it grows through the insect's body, draining it of nutrients and hijacking its mind. Over the course of a week, it compels the ant to leave the safety of its nest and ascend a nearby plant stem. It stops the ant at a height of 25 centimeters, a zone with precisely the right temperature and humidity for the fungus to grow. It forces the ant to permanently lock its mandibles around a leaf. Eventually, it sends a long stalk through the ant's head, growing into a bulbous capsule full of spores. And because the ant typically climbs a leaf that overhangs its colony's foraging trails, the fungus spores rain down onto its sisters below, zombifying them in turn." Welcome, Vault Dwellers. This is your host, Tom or Robots. Thank you for joining me again for another episode of the Fallout Lorecast. I am discussing zombie creatures created by fungus today because that relates directly to Vault 22. Now, that article I read in the beginning is a real thing. There really are zombie ants out there that are being controlled by a fungus in their brains. This is real world stuff. This is not science fiction. I mean, there's science fiction's versions of this, right? But this is legit real. If we were to all become zombies in the future, there might be something to this. Now, an ant's brain is a lot simpler than a human brain, but that's not to say that something like a fungus couldn't potentially control a human being in the future. So how does this relate to Vault 22? Well, you might remember Vault 22 from Fallout New Vegas. And like many of the vaults, Vault 22 didn't always go as planned. So let's dig into the Gamepedia Wiki article here. It says, "Vault 22 is one of the vaults constructed by Vault-Tec Corporation in the Mojave Wasteland, thus Fallout New Vegas." That makes sense, right? "It is located south-southwest of the Griffin Ware's Sacked Caravan and directly west of the Thorn. By 2281, the vault home to a variety of plant life and wild animals, most notably giant mantises. Humans, the intended occupants, were nowhere to be seen." Now, why wouldn't the humans be there? Well, this is something that we discover through the game. You see, designed as a green vault, people selected for populating the vault were all dedicated to one goal: sustaining the vault population with plants grown within its confines. Some of their most successful experiments were, in fact, donated by defense contractors, such as the fungus that would eventually become the vault's undoing. Now, this makes sense. If you're going to survive for a long period of time in a subterranean vault without actual sunlight, because you know what? There might be a nuclear winter up above the surface anyway, so you're not going to get sunlight anyway, then you need to find a way to create food, to create plants. Any animals you have in that vault, including humans, will need plants to eat. So you can't just live off of meat because you can't have animals eating not plant food. So you have to have plants, right? It just makes sense. So how do you continue to grow plants in a place with limited availability of sunlight? Well, it makes sense. Why not try fungus? Fungus naturally grows in dark places. So the wiki goes on and says, Bivaria mordicana was originally an entomopathogenic fungus. That is a great word. Entomopathogenic fungus designed for pest control. When a pest is exposed to the fungal spores, the fungus infests it and begins to colonize the host body. Sound familiar? The host eventually dies due to a failure of body functions as the colony expands through its body. However, the dead body continues to be controlled by the fungal colony, allowing it to move around and infect more pests by spraying spores around the host body. While effective in the long term, it still takes between 10 and 20 days to kill its prey and achieves limited effectiveness when dealing with unsocial pests. The fungus was originally developed at the X-22 Botanical Garden by the Big MT, though the technology was eventually shared with Vault Tech Industries to enable botanical experiments at Vault 22. Now, do you guys remember the Big MT? The Big MT, like the letters M and T, or empty, is highlighted in the Old World Blues expansion to Fallout New Vegas. And very, very quickly, it is the Big Mountain Research and Development Center, alternatively known as the Big MT or Big Empty, was a privately owned pre-war defense contractor and research center located in the Southwest Commonwealth. Originally, Big MT got its name from the mountain that was above the underground center, but that mountain was vaporized sometime before the war, and the underground center became an open-air center. It serves as the game world for Old World Blues. So back to the fungus that they helped develop. I think you can probably see where this is going, even if you never played through this vault. It seems like one of those, you do enough of these stories in the games and you start to go, oh, this isn't going to end well, because none of them ever do. But let's continue with the wiki. As with many technologies coming out of the Big MT, the fungus was a Pandora's box. Once the vault scientists began experimenting with the fungus after the Great War, they effectively signed their death warrants. While ostensibly designed to provide effective means of long-term pest control, the fungus was perfectly capable of infecting human bodies. Fungal spores gradually spread through the vault, slowly infecting the population. The first confirmed infection was Dr. Harris Peters, who also provided insight into the development of the infection. It begins with pneumonia as the fungus invades the lungs, eventually transforming into chills and fever and a terrible racking cough. The fungal colony causes the body to actively reject antifungal treatments. There's nothing you can do. Once the fungal colony takes hold, the treatments don't work. This leads to death due to organ failure. It's probably a really terrible way to go out. You have pneumonia, you come down with a terrible cough, you can't breathe, and then slowly your organs fail. That cannot feel good. That has got to be a terrible, terrible death. And then you turn into a zombie. So, you know, that's not even the worst part. As with smaller pests, the fungal colony continues to grow and develop. Eventually, it spreads far enough to establish control over the deceased person's body, becoming a highly aggressive spore carrier, a mindless beast whose sole purpose is spreading the spores. The untreatable infection baffles the scientists and spread through the vault like wildfire. Now, this does seem similar in some ways to the Scorched, what's going on with the Scorched in Fallout 76. And this isn't the first idea that this idea shows up in pop culture. There's an article on horrorhomeroom.com which explains the fungal zombies, as they are called, and the films that they are related to, and even some of the video games they show up in. So check this out. Some genetic history. This is specifically from that article. At first, the origin myth of the cinematic zombie was squared on the nuclear bomb and the terror of the Cold War. Then it was the ultra-violence and non-discriminating tendencies of a man-made virus post-9/11, let loose by eco-terrorists. So like 28 days later or weeks later, a mysterious patient zero narrative, Dawn of the Dead, or even the capitalist-driven biopharmaceutical company allowing safety to lapse in the name of advancement, like the Resident Evil franchise. But in films like Netflix's Cargo from 2018 and The Girl with All the Gifts from 2016, and video games like The Last of Us 2013 and Resident Evil 2017, a new breed of Walking Dead infected have taken hold of our collective consciousness, fungal zombies. So these are more recently showing up in pop culture. They don't show up, according to this article, it seems like they don't show up before about 2013 in The Last of Us. Fallout New Vegas predates that. I don't know of any other pop culture references before Fallout New Vegas. So what year was that? 20 or 2009, something like that. So if you guys know of any fungal zombies showing up in stories or movies or video games or anything before that date, let me know, because this seems to be a newer trend and it may be based on the discovery of these real life fungal spores, which take over things like ants and cause them to do all sorts of crazy stuff. So, before then, I guess maybe we didn't even have this as an idea of another terrible way that we could cause humans to die and eat each other and stuff. So let's go on with Vault 22 and explain what else happens in the timeline. So the article goes on and says that widespread infection led to the collapse of social order in the vault. Infected humans were turned into spore carriers, with the airborne fungal spores threatening the remaining living. Scientists attempted to eradicate them by igniting gas deliberately released in the lower levels of the vault. However, the release triggered an incredibly aggressive reaction from the carriers, which attacked the scientists, tearing them limb from limb. Ugh. By 2096, the vault was finally abandoned and a party of 118 survivors made way for the Zion Canyon. The dead eventually mutated into spore carriers and became stationary colonies of the fungus. The dwellers were savages. They traveled to the Zion Canyon with over 100 men and women, strong, discipline, tactics, and firepower. The small band of Mexican survivors camped out there posed no threat to the dwellers. They hit the survivors' camp on February 11th of 2096, killing all the men and shooting down women and children that resisted. The remainder were taken to the main camp of the dwellers and penned in like livestock. So basically, the people who did survive from the vault ended up doing terrible things to this group of Mexicans. Eventually, they were confronted by Randall Clark, and Randall wasn't sure what all the coughing was about among the vault survivors, but then it became clear that there was something else going on. And then, you know, of course, as always, it doesn't quite end great. You see, Randall Clark discovered that the survivors, well, apparent survivors of Vault 22, were killing and eating all of the Mexican survivors at the camp. And so he decided to wage war against them and basically destroy them as much as possible, and eventually disappeared into the wasteland. So we don't know exactly what happened to Randall, but probably doesn't end well. That's usually how this stuff goes, right? So I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what kind of zombie I would prefer to be. The zombies in this story are all fungal zombies, but then there's viral zombies, and then there's like mutant zombies of some sort, and like voodoo zombies. Do you have a preference? If you had to be a zombie, this is the most ridiculous question. If you had to be a zombie, what type of zombie would you be? I think I would be a... I don't know. Fungal zombie seems kind of gross. I don't think I would choose that one. So the rest of the vault, the rest of the story for the vault is basically it gets overrun by creatures because there are no longer humans. But I would make sure if you are going to the Mojave and you are exploring and you find Vault 22, make sure you cover up, wear a suit, put some breathing masks on or something. Don't go in there just breathing up all those spores because you never know. You never know if those spores are dormant and are going to just lodge in your brain and then take over your body. And then who knows, maybe you'll be hanging from a leaf 25 centimeters from the ground. that's a weird picture. Okay, so one of the other things that's really notable about this vault is that there is, on the fifth floor, there are multiple floors to this vault. I think pretty regular looking vault, except that it has a bunch of fungus and creatures roaming around in it. But there is the AER-14 prototype laser rifle in the vault on the fifth floor. So what is the AER-14 prototype laser rifle? Well, according to the wiki, it says the AER-14 laser rifle was in development stages before the Great War, designed as an upgrade of the AER-9 and the AER-12 models, using the original AER-9 chassis as basis. The weapon has modified optics and focusing crystals, resulting in a more focused and destructive laser beam. As a side effect, the frequency of the amplified light is shifted, resulting in a green rather than red laser beam. So it's the green laser beam. I don't know if you remember this from it or if you actually found it and picked it up. But just having green lasers is pretty cool, let alone doing more damage. A single AER-14 prototype is confirmed as existing by 2281. This development hardware platform was lost in Vault 22 and still retains its workshop markings and jury-rigged circuit boards rigged to the stock. As the development cycle was not finished, the AER-14 has power consumption issues, using up twice as much power per shot, and is more fragile compared to its predecessors. And it looks pretty cool. There's, the typical boxy-looking laser rifle image. Think about how that looks. But there are extra wires and circuit boards just kind of like duct taped around. It must have been a very early prototype because this thing is just pieced together. I mean, it's got circuit boards, like open circuit boards on the stock. So, I guess that makes sense. It's a little bit more fragile. But that wraps up Vault 22. And in order to move into the next section, this is what the laser beam sounds like. All right, so everybody knows how VPN services and ExpressVPN can protect your privacy and security online, right? But did you know that there are some secret hidden benefits to using ExpressVPN, like unlocking movies and shows that are only available in other countries? So if you're like me, you probably enjoy watching shows on Netflix, for example. Well, with ExpressVPN, you can unlock the UK version of The Office, or Parasite from South Korean Netflix, over 100 different countries. All you have to do is change your location and refresh Netflix or whatever, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. In fact, when I set it up for myself, I was surprised at how easy it was. It just installs and then loads up and works. And it works on more than just PCs, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and so much more. So if you want to access hundreds of new shows, use my link right now, expressvpn.com/falloutlore, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/falloutlore. expressvpn.com/falloutlore. to learn more.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
Why don't we ask the newcomer? You support the news?
All right, Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, either or, welcome to the show again, and thank you for tuning in. This episode dug a little bit into some pop culture references, and we just barely dipped our toes. You know, I try to edit some of the earlier sections of the show, but once it comes to this part where I'm just talking to you guys, sometimes my mistakes are funnier if I just leave them. So I'm just going to leave our toes. Oh, geez. Into pop culture. Anyway, all that's to say that I have an exciting thing to mention. I am working with somebody who is an expert on pop cultural references it might be the next show, or it was definitely coming up soon, where we will be doing an investigation into some of the pop culture references in the Fallout series. And we're going to start with just a few of the movies that Fallout draws a lot from and have a discussion about that. And if you guys like it, it will be something that we will do more regularly on the reg, because the lore of the games is very highly tied to pop culture references. So it makes a lot of sense to connect those two things. So stay tuned for that on a future episode. For right now, I'm going to dig into a little bit more about Emily G's question. Thank you. Okay, so back up a little bit. If you guys did not catch the last episode, Emily G is our first $10 a month patron on patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Thank you again, Emily. I really appreciate the support. If you are interested in supporting the show, I'm just going to plug this in right here. The best way to do it is to tell a friend or tell 10 friends. And if you don't have any friends, then I'm sorry. Come hang out in our Discord where you will make new friends. And instead of telling your friends, you can leave a review on iTunes or whatever service you listen to this podcast on, if it allows you to leave reviews. And more importantly for me, if you'd like to support the show financially and help me pay for hosting costs and all this kind of stuff, then please go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast and drop me, consider dropping a buck a month. We'll get you into the Patreon and into the patron section of the Discord. And so all that's to say that Emily, our first $10 a month patron, sent in a question for a topic to discuss last week. And so we addressed it a little bit, and I had noted to Emily that I wasn't particularly familiar with the conversation between Maxon and Dance in Fallout 4. So she sent me the clips from this, the conversation, and all of it is up on the Discord. So check the show notes for the Discord notes in the Fallout Lorecast section. And in there, if you're interested in this, and it's a really interesting question about why was it that Maxon, spoilers, if you haven't done this in Fallout 4, but I mean, it's a lore show, so we're going to be revealing stuff anyway, right? But why did Maxon allow Dance to live, basically, on the prompting of your character, your main character? Why would he do that based on everything that is stated there? And Emily, awesome, put together some more thoughts on that, shared some things, shared the videos. I was able to look over the videos and then also shared my thoughts on it. And to kind of conclude, this would be a lot easier if you guys just go in there and read through the stuff. But my conclusion was that I believe that Maxon, at that point in the conversation, because you stand up for Dance and because Dance had the opportunity to have done something terrible, that Maxon is no longer necessarily afraid of what Dance will do or might do, because he had all the opportunity in the world to betray him and he didn't. But he still can't see a synth as being equivalent to a human. So even if somebody like Dance isn't necessarily threatening, they're still not a person. So that's kind of the boundary. That's as far as he's willing to go. And that was my assessment of the situation. You might have a completely different opinion. So go ahead and check it out. Check out the clip if you haven't played through that section of the game. And drop your thoughts in the Discord or share them on Twitter.
Fallout at Fallout Lorecast on Twitter, and you know, let us know what you think. As for Fallout 4 gameplay in the game, I haven't had a whole lot of time to dive back into it. I still need to try out the PvP mode. I'm really focused on trying to get through a lot of the content in Elder Scrolls Online before the next expansion comes out in, I think it's less than 2 months away at this point. There's so much content. I want to get through a lot of the main story stuff before the new one comes out. So I've been doubling down on that lately. I promise I will get back more into Fallout, especially as more of these updates come out and I have kind of more of a backlog of things I need to be doing in Fallout 76. So as always, most of the time I stream, if you guys want to join me, at Fallout. Here's more brand new news. I changed the channel, officially changed the channel to twitch.tv/robotsradio. And there's no zeros in it. It's just regular letters, Robots Radio. And most of the time I'll stream definitely on Tuesday nights. I try to always stream on Wednesday nights. I try to stream as many nights as I can, but you know, sometimes life happens. So if you want to join me on there, you're welcome to jump in and hang out or join me in game. If I'm playing Fallout 76 or if I'm playing Elder Scrolls Online, I'd love to hang out with you guys or just see in chat. So let me know. Now on to the reviews. And I say this every week, but you all are ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You're leaving so many reviews. So we're gonna chomp through these. Some of them are really, really interesting and some of them are short and sweet. So here we go with the first most recent one from Fulton Films in the US. He says, "Robots knows Fallout things." I like that. Love this show. It is getting me through a new job that I hate. I've been there, dude. I know how that goes. I'm so glad that I can do that for you. Robots knows his stuff, and though the show is new, he is already falling into a good tempo and rhythm through the full and many episodes that carry from episode to episode. Yeah, well, guess what? We changed that rhythm a few weeks ago, but I'm still trying to get out as much content as I can. This show is the perfect fix I need now that I live in the mountains with terrible internet and can't play 76. Oh no, that's terrible. I'd love to hear more on the deep lore from the start of the franchise, as well as what bits of Fallout are sprinkled throughout other games from the earlier developers like the Wasteland series. This show is awesome. Keep up the good work. Yeah, at some point we're going to have to delve into Wasteland and talk about similarities and differences and what things carried over from those games. So yeah, that's whole nother bucket of things to dive into at some point. Thank you so much for the review. Then we have Greg Clark from Great Britain, who writes, "The Fallout History Podcast I need. I heard Robots on That Fallout Show." Hi to That Fallout Show, everybody. If you haven't checked out That Fallout Show podcast, give them a listen. They are hilarious, and they go over lots of the detail in-game stuff that I don't. So go check them out. And had to give his show a listen. After the first episode, I was hooked. Spent the next day playing the podcast channel and couldn't believe I had listened to all of them, and it leaves me wanting more. All the best from Greg in Scotland. Thank you so much, Greg. I'm glad you've burned through the content and are just hungry for more. That's awesome. And then we have Jake 2,700. There's too many zeros. Big number starts with a 2 and a 7. From the US, Stellar Pod. If you have a craving for Fallout while you're stuck at work or studying for school, well, you have found the right place. Robots will take you deep into Fallout lore while piquing your interests with his one-of-a-kind commentary. Well, thanks. Whether it be a zany Deathclaw scene or just him reacting to a review where someone calls him gay, he's not. I'm going to address this in a second. You can count on Tom to always keep you entertained with laughter and intrigue about the mysteries of Fallout. Listen to it all, then start all over again, just because there are so many facts that you might just miss some. Come for the lore, stay for the robots. Well, thank you so much. That I hope you guys, I got some notes about the when I called out the review the other day where somebody had accidentally typoed the word gay and I made like this awkward scene of it. I hope you realize that was me making fun of the idea that somebody would make an awkward scene by actually being awkward and making a scene. Like, kind of lighting, holding a candle on it. Anyway, I have no qualms about any of that. I hope that that didn't offend anybody or it was misunderstood. It was just meant to be silly. And so we'll move on from there. So we have Wickedly Nate in the US who writes, "The Fallout podcast I've always wanted. Seriously, anyone who wants to know more about Fallout lore and wants a great piece to start, this is your podcast. Main episodes go over core topics in the massive lore catalog, while mini episodes cover the many different vaults in the game." They wrote calls, but I think they mean vaults. "Topics are conversational and help peel away the many layers of wasteland. Ugh, that's like what you get when you walk around the wasteland and you don't get a shower. You have to peel off the layers of wasteland. Ugh. Does not get into Bethesda politics, game stuff only, which is amazing." Well, you're welcome. I'm trying to keep it on focus. "I finally turned off my Pip-Boy radio and play this while I play my Fallout games. Can't wait to check out the stream." You know, that would be awesome if somebody wanted to mod in this podcast as a radio station in Fallout 4 or something. That would be crazy cool. I don't know how to do that stuff, but if one of you guys does, that would be awesome. All right, so next one, Flying Monkey from the US writes, "Great podcast." Oh, and thank you, Wickedly Nate. I didn't say thanks at the end of that one. Thank you so much. So Flying Monkey says, "Great podcast. It's taught me much of the Fallout world. Keep up the great work." Short and simple. Thank you, Flying Monkey. I appreciate the review and the 5-star rating. Then we have Charcoal, who is from the US, Charcoal76, who writes, "Charcoal's review. Hi, robots. I am very new to Fallout, and I love the simplicity of your show and how it goes in-depth without being confusing. It has given me great contacts about the Fallout series and how the events came to be in the lore. So I thank you for opening up my mind to the world of Fallout, and keep up the great work of your podcast, and I will be ready for when you have your newest episode. Sincerely, Charcoal." Thank you so much, Charcoal, for leaving me that review and 5-star ratings. And we've got 3 more, and these ones are getting shorter as we go. So we have B2 the NG, I think is how you pronounce it, from the United States, who writes, "Atomically good. In the games, the story is told in pieces and out of order. This podcast provides a much comprehensive and interesting method to enjoy Fallout world." Thank you, robots. You're welcome, B2. Thank you for leaving that review. Then we have Scott, please, PLS, from Great Britain, who writes, "Informative and enjoyable to listen to. I discovered this show after listening to that Fallout show," another call to that Fallout show, "and I've already binged through all the episodes." Another, man, you guys just like tear through this content. "Robots does a great job at explaining the lore in an entertaining way, and I especially enjoy the guest episodes, which help introduce different points of view. I 100% recommend this podcast to any Fallout fans." And yes, thank you for the feedback about the guest appearances. That is definitely something I want to continue. I'm hoping to at least have a special, like I noted that before, I'm going to have a guest on to talk about the pop culture stuff, but I'm hoping to at least do 1, maybe 2 episodes out of a month. I don't ever want it to become too much of the content, but I want to strike a nice balance, because it is nice to have other people on and hear their perspectives, and it gives me something to think about differently than simply the way I research and interpret things as well. So different people have different expertise, and of course it's always cool to hear more info from somebody who might be, you know, more knowledgeable than certain things than I am. Then we have our last review. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Scott. Thank you for that review. I appreciate it a lot. The last review from Lucky2B in the US, who writes, "Refreshing. Finally don't have to spend my time reading through the wiki to learn about the lore. Thank you very much." Well, I'm glad I can do that for you and keep it entertaining and educational. So thank you to everyone who left a rating or review. I really, 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 did I mention? I really appreciate it. And I will see you guys next week with hopefully a special episode. And if that doesn't for some reason work out, then we'll do another regular episode, and I will dive into, it'll be a secret. But somebody mentioned this idea recently on the Discord, and they were like, "Hey, when are you going to jump into this topic?" And I was like, that's a good idea. So I'll see you guys next time. And in the meantime, don't breathe in spores. Not a good idea. I like mushrooms as much on my pizza as the next guy, but yeah, wear a gas mask. I'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening to the Fallout Lorecast. All sounds and music are owned by Bethesda Softworks, and no copyright infringement is intended. If you have something you'd like to contribute to the show, please contact us at falloutlorecast@gmail.com or follow us and post some messages to us on Twitter @FalloutLorecast. And if you'd like to support the show, tell a friend or check out the rewards you can get for becoming a patron at patreon.com/falloutlorecast. I really appreciate you listening, and I'd love to hear from you soon.